CliffCentral.com.
Thank you, Ben. Here's Anthea. You know what that means?
She looks hard for the money.
Yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey.
And it seems the money's finally working a little bit better for us.
It is, yes. Yeah, and our portfolios are doing okay.
Yeah, we must get an update on those. When do we traditionally do our updates since we're in 3 months old?
I should have done it today, but I don't have all the numbers in front of me. I'll do it for you tomorrow.
All right.
It wasn't such a great week in the markets last week, though, unfortunately. It was pretty bad. And Friday was horrible. The Rand was very strong. Resources really took a pummeling. But that's also not just the weaker Rand, but Chinese data came out. You know, the Chinese are back after their Chinese Lunar New Year holiday. They came back on Friday. Mm-hmm. They released some economic data. Their PMI came in at 51 versus the previous month's 51.9. And ours last week was 50.7 or something, I think. So sentiment just not great in China at the moment. And then also they're raising interest rates. So that's had quite a negative impact on the commodity prices and our resource shares on Friday. Platinums were the worst hit. Impala Platinum was down almost 7%.
Oof.
I know. So,
now, I noticed Sibanye Gold went up on, Wednesday or Thursday?
Last week. I think on Friday it was down, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, they went up really
well. It
was down
about 4% on Friday.
Right. And then they obviously lost a little bit. So you lose in the swings, gain in the roundabouts kind of thing. But is this all related to China?
Yes. So Friday's down was definitely related to China. The up moves last week, I think it's more to do with Sibanye Gold. You know, it's the mining in Darbe starts this week, today, in fact. And it's quite a big one, you know, and everyone's already talking about it. There's a lot going on. The least favorite person at the moment, I'm afraid, is our mining minister. And in fact, you know, Neil Froneman, who's CEO of Sibanye Gold, is suing him for, I think, about 28 or 29 million rand. Yeah, because I think it was last year, they had a fatal accident at one of the mines, and the mining minister, Zwane, cut off or stopped 5 shafts. I mean, not just one, you know, kind of 5 of them. And Neil Froneman's basically saying there was no need to. He caused Sibanye to lose millions of rands, and that's why he's suing them.
All right. Well, he'll probably win.
I read such an interesting article on the mining sector this weekend because there's so much going on. And also, you know, it was the weekend, it was the one-year anniversary of Lily Mines when all those, how many of them were there, 3 or 5, got trapped in the mine. And we've never recovered those bodies. Anyway, so I think there's a lot of emotion in the sector at the moment. Anyway, but in 2006, there were 457,000 employees in the mining sector. Gold production has halved since then. Platinum has fallen 11%. Coal production is up about 3%. And wages have almost trebled in the last 10 years. So basically, we're paying more for less. So we're getting less production and paying more. And in 1970, mining contributed 21% to our GDP. Today, it's only 7%.
Wow.
So I think the whole concern about where we're going with this mining sector and what's happening and how the unions keep demanding higher wages, and that's one of the other things they were complaining about, all the CEOs of the mines, that the average wage is now 13,000 rand, which is, 4 times higher than the minimum wage. And if we lose this sector, what everyone is saying is that it's the one place where we can create jobs easily. You know, it's unskilled labor. So while we're trying to fix our education system and move away from the sector, we still need mining, I'm afraid. We just can't do without it.
Plus, it's on the macro scale, it's not the goose that lays the golden eggs that it used to be. In other words, all these people who talk about, you know, we can nationalize the mines. I noticed that conversation's gone kind of quiet because they've realized there's no point. You're not going to make the money. There's no way you can squeeze these margins better than private enterprise will. And if it were governments, then they'd have idiot minister Musabenzi Zwane shutting down 5 shafts for no good reason. So you can imagine how badly it would be run.
Exactly, yeah.
And they'll lose that case because they also employ really bad lawyers a lot of the time.
Oh, really?
Government lose left, right, and center. Look, it's mostly because of their stupid activity, but it's sometimes also their bad lawyers. All right, let's look at Europe quickly while we were talking about the international. You mentioned China, so how about Europe?
Yeah, shares were much higher in Europe, much higher on Friday, positively, quite strongly positive, I should say. François Hollande came out on Friday and was very upset, finally spoke out about Trump's decision to upend this transatlantic relationship, and also that Trump is now attacking the European Union. You know, last week he always said, also said that Germany's currency is too strong and that, well, too weak, sorry, because of the euro,
yeah,
and that should be stronger. I think it's interesting because Hollande suddenly is standing up and saying, can you just mind your own business? Please get away from us. But at the same time, I think Trump probably hit a nerve. You know, the European Union is struggling. Right. This single currency thing, probably not the best thing for such countries with such diverse economies. But clearly Europe liked the fact that Hollande spoke up on Friday because shares were quite positively higher.
All right. Now, one other thing before we get to the budget stuff, which we've got to talk about because it's budget speech month. Mm. The Alex Forbes results.
Oh, yes. So they fell 4% on Friday because now the CFO, Dion Fullion, is resigning, said he was resigning. He's leaving on the 30th of April. He's been with the company for 14 years, and he was headhunted by none other than Discovery. I mean, that's where Discovery, like, Discovery just goes for smart people, right?
Right,
like,
but they just had a change of CEO.
That's right. So Dion's the CFO, financial officer. They've just had a change of CEO, and that's the problem. Andrew Dufour took over from Edward Kiesvetter and just has not been in the job long enough.
Now they're losing their CFO.
Yeah. So Discovery CFO Ricky Farber, he's moving to Australia. Dion's now moving to Discovery to take over there. So it's a pity. But because, like, you know, when you talk about institutional memory, I think Dion's got that, and he's very smart. He really knows what he's doing. I, in fact, when Edward Kiesvetter left, I thought maybe Dion would take over Alex Forbes as CEO. But no, they got in Andrew Dufour, and he still, I guess, needs to prove himself.
What about the U.S. markets? We've done Europe, we've done China.
Yeah, okay. U.S. closed much higher on Friday as well, but that's because they had very robust employment data. They created 220,000 jobs in January. We were only expecting 180,000.
So. Making America great again, creating jobs.
Indeed.
I make so many jobs.
I'm not sure these are yours yet. You can't claim them.
No, well, he will.
Okay. The problem, though, is that the average hourly rate has fallen by 2.5%, which is a slowdown from 2.8% in December. And so this is the concern, that even though America are creating lots of jobs, what they're not doing is they're low-paid jobs, basically. That's the problem.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting, I think, because Trump, that's one of his things. He's going to create, I don't know how many millions of jobs. I think he said he was going to create 5 million jobs or something. But actually, for him to create those jobs, you know, he's talking about resurrecting the coal mining sector, which again are low paid jobs.
Mm.
So I'm not sure exactly how all of this is going to play out, but at least for now, it's okay. I mean, they didn't raise interest rates last week. But this big jobs number is definitely going to push them or give them support for raising interest rates.
All right. We're jumping around a lot this morning, but there's plenty to talk about. Mm. Snapchat have filed to list on the New York Stock Exchange.
I'm not a Snapchat user, so I don't know too much about this company. And I had to go and look up something called Snapchat Story. So apparently, with Snapchat, you can post something and it gets deleted immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with Snapchat Story, apparently it stays on for 24 hours.
Yep.
They're planning to IPO for $3 billion, so obviously you've got huge expansion plans in the way there. They currently have, by December last year, they had 158 million on average daily active users, which is up 48%. So, like, it seems like I'm missing out on something here. Like No, am I not? Okay.
Well, Instagram have kind of launched their own stories.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry. No, right, I don't use Instagram either.
Well, right at the top of Instagram, and they've got more users than Snapchat.
Mm.
They've got these stories, which you can watch. It's live video, sometimes still photographs, but it stays up there for a while, and you can kind of get a snapshot of someone's life.
Okay.
But Snapchat, I don't know what their unique selling proposition is.
So they made $404.5 million in 2016 in revenue, but they made a loss of $514 million. So do you want to buy into a company that's making $500 million loss a year? Well, we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. They're probably going to IPO in March. We'll see how interested people are. And you know what it is about these tech IPOs? I think people buy into the company in the hope that somebody else will pick it up, in the hope that Facebook will buy it or Google will buy it. It's not that the company itself is brilliant. It's that there's a hope that somebody else will buy it.
So you buy to sell?
Basically, yes. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so it's budget speech month, and we've got a couple of things to look forward to and some things not to look forward to.
Yes, so I think, I'm speculating, but I do think we're going to see an increase in paying tax somewhere along the line.
Like we need that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk to Gordon Stewart, who's based at in Mauritius. He's the MD of Salamanca Group. Hey, Gordon, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Anthea. How are you both?
Good, good, good. Very well, thank you, Gordon. So, Gordon, we always get a little bit nervous around Budget Speech Month, but, you know, a lot of people have been saying, well, our best possible ally in the situation that we're in at the moment is the Minister of Finance. This budget speech, he doesn't have a lot of options, does he?
Not really. I was listening to Anthea's introductory song where she kind of talks about working hard for her money. But I think at this stage, Praveen's working even harder to take it away.
Yeah.
You know, they require a significant amount of additional revenue, and they don't really have too many different areas that they can draw from to get that extra revenue. So I'm going to be in agreement with Anthea on this, and I anticipate that tax rates, individual tax rates, will go up, maybe by another percent, another 2%. And there is talk that the inclusion rate for capital gains tax will go up. And I also, you know, looking at the trend that we've seen with regards to the Davis Tax Committee reports, and the first one, the second one, and the recommendations that were made, as well as those recommendations that have already been implemented, I'm anticipating that there might be quite significant changes with regards to the manner in which death duties are going to be dealt with.
It's time for us to all register ourselves in Mauritius like you are.
I must admit, Mauritius is a fantastic place to live, although I'm sitting looking out the window at our first cyclone that's hit us. So we've got Cyclone Carlos that's sweeping past us, which has just been upgraded to a Category 2. So it isn't all about tropical islands, beaches, and cocktails. We're getting lashed by quite heavy weather.
I was actually only talking about tax. I wasn't even taking geography. But, you know,
the tax rates in Mauritius are very favorable, and I have to take my hat off to the Mauritian government. You know, when I came across to the island, the first budget speech that I experienced here, it really impressed me as to how dynamic they were. You know, this little island doesn't have any natural resources, so they have to be quite creative in how they go about running their economy. And it impressed me that on the first page, you know, the Minister of Finance starts off by saying, Madam Speaker, we have a problem. Our economy has stagnated at 3 to 3.5% GDP per annum.
Wow.
So therefore, we are now going to implement the following steps. And instead of it being pages and pages of just waffle, they literally had bullet points that they were going to implement and how they were going to implement them. And they've implemented a lot of them already. So they really do talk as opposed to, or implement as opposed to just talk. But the taxes are pretty good over here. I can't complain.
How will our new tax regime or any changes to that tax regime impact investors?
That, I think the principal one that's going to hit investors, Gareth, is the amendment to the long-established estate planning structure where individuals would take money, put it into a trust via an interest-free loan, write off that loan on an annual basis, and in essence, they took a growth dynamic asset, which would be your investments, which would attract estate duty tax and deemed capital gains tax and executor's fees, and you put it into a trust against this interest-free loan, which would remove a lot of the value or the upside in the value from your estate. Now that they've introduced the new Section 7C, which forces you to charge interest on your loan at a current rate of 8%, and failure to do so will be seen as a deemed donation, it's going to make a lot of individuals reconsider whether they still require their trust.
In other words, the whole structure that we've been talking to very complex legal systems about, that whole thing will come crashing down, and we'll have a whole new system, and it's not necessarily going to save us any money anymore.
Are we also?
Well, that's the thing, and you know, the other thing that the Davis Tax Committee recommendations have put forward is that the estate duty abatement be increased from its current $3.5 million up to $15 million per person. And then anything over $30 million, instead of being taxed at 20%, would be taxed at 25%. So what that does is that it takes, if you take a combined estate of $30 million, there's not a huge amount of individuals who have estates in excess of that. So the question would then be, do I still need to utilize a local trust to plan for my estate?
And the dividend withholding tax, it's currently at about 15%, right? Do you think there are going to
correct.
Be any changes to that?
Anthea, I've heard rumors, but to start tinkering with company tax is a whole different ballgame, because there's obviously international aspects to that as well. So that's a good question, and I'm not entirely sure. As I say, I've heard rumors that they might increase the dividends tax, but that would be quite a bold step.
Okay, so maybe we can relax for a little bit longer then, hopefully.
I think if they do make changes in the budget speech, I don't think they're going to, I don't think they're going to bring too much too soon. I think they'll phase it in. As I say, I think I anticipate maybe another increase in the maximum tax rate, maybe from 41 up to 42 or 43%. That increase in the maximum tax rate would obviously have a pull through with regards to the capital gains taxes that would be paid. Maybe there'd be a slight increase in the inclusion rate, although we had one a year, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, when they brought out capital gains tax in 2001, they promised that there would be no changes to the inclusion rates. But they haven't really stuck to that.
And you're not expecting a VAT increase?
If they had a VAT increase, I think it would solve a lot of everyone's problems. I think they're currently looking to raise an additional 24 billion rand. I think if they took VAT up by an extra 1 to 1.5%, that would bring that value in. But I think VAT at this stage, according to Dennis Davies, although he hasn't taken it off the table, I think it's a little bit of a political hot potato. So I don't think they'll change it at this stage.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Gordon. There we go, Gordon Stewart, Sonam Anchor Group. Thank you. And we'll have to pick up with some more tomorrow. I'm afraid we're out of time. Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure.
Very, very good. That's the Money Shot daily around this time. Mondays, a little bit of an extended version. Anthea comes in and we get to talk about things in a little more depth. And in this case, look out for the budget. Thank you to Gordon Stewart. Thanks, Anthea. We will see you on tomorrow morning. CliffCentral.com.